Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Good morning, everybody, on this slightly rainy Tuesday morning. Here's what's going on. So we're starting to hear from some media types who have NBA MVP votes. Yesterday, we heard from J.J. Redick on his Old Man and the Three podcast explaining why he voted for Nikola Jokic.
Shea's deserving. Luka's deserving. Jokic is deserving. I think Denver ended up, you know, approaching this regular season, particularly after the All-Star break, with a level of seriousness and professionalism. And he was the driving force behind that. 57 wins for them, tied with OKC for the best record in the Western Conference. Of course, OKC gets the head-to-head nod, tiebreaker. But yeah, that's it.
All right. Good job. He said, though, it was by the slightest of margins over Luka and SGA. It's almost like even in voting for Jokic.
Yeah, it's like you got to cover yourself,
right? You
got to
cover yourself. Like, well, listen, you know, it's not like I had him winning by a lot.
Right.
You know, I had SGA and Luka right there.
I know everybody, all my colleagues hate it.
Right.
You know, they want somebody else, but I voted for him, but it was, oh, I almost didn't vote for him. Stop it.
Stop. Just come out and say
he's better.
Yeah. Folks, it's not even close.
Right.
Defending champions, they tie a franchise record with a bullseye on their back. They tie a franchise record for wins.
By the way,
he goes out and does things that we've never seen or haven't seen since Wilt Chamberlain.
And Murray missed a quarter of the season. Your number two guy.
Right.
Missed a quarter of the season. Come on, stop it. Stop trying to make it, like, stop making excuses.
Yeah.
He's just better than everybody else. That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Just embrace it.
Well, speaking of Nikola and the Nuggets, they'll be, apparently they're going to get together. Michael Malone hinted that they might get together as a team to watch the game tonight, which I think would be yet another.
That'd be cool.
You know, nod to the closeness of this team. That really seems to enjoy spending time together.
Where do you go if you're the Nuggets?
Right. Do you just roll into a B-dubs and grab a couple tables and start ordering wings and, hey, can you put the game on?
Right. Like, seriously.
No, we're showing the Red Wings game. No.
Right. Where do you, like, you got to go places with leg room.
Right.
Everybody's super tall. Yeah, where do you go?
I think they go over somebody's house,
like,
right?
Jokic's house.
Somebody's house. Jokic's got a new pool. Ah, oh, it's going to be too cold, though, for the pool. Although the pool's probably heated.
But not for Jokic. Jokic's probably right now just in a pair of tidy whities laying out of the pool. The sun will come out. It will come out, I believe.
Pelicans and Lakers tonight. Winner gets the Nuggets. Be careful what you wish for. Do you think we'll see these two teams both trying to lose, with the idea being that we'd rather take our we'd rather put ourselves into a winner take all game on Friday to be the 8 seed, so that we get the number 1 seed Oklahoma City instead of trying to win tonight.
Wouldn't that
be getting the number 2 seed Nuggets?
Wouldn't that be something if both these teams just were trying to lay eggs? It would just be such.
You think we'll know it? You think you'll tell?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. Of course, if they sit guys out. I mean, obviously. But I'm saying if everybody was out there playing.
Right.
Full strength. Would you be able to tell if one team was like, we don't want it, you take it. Nah, we don't want it, you take it.
I think you would be able. I think there would be definite clues. God, I mean, what if you're the commissioner and you watch them roll out and, like, try to actually, like, nobody plays. This is one of your playing games that you created to draw more interest into your game, and you got teams rolling over
to avoid playing the Nuggets.
Dude, it's a bad look, man.
It is a bad look. All right, we'll see what happens. 5:30 tonight on TNT. The Broncos making a move. They sign another defensive tackle. Apparently, they were serious about shoring up their run defense as they sign 10-year veteran Angelo Blackson. He has played for a number of teams, Titans, Texans, Cardinals, Bears, Jags, and was with Vance Joseph in Arizona in 2020. So this must warm your heart in a league that's all about throwing the football, that there's still an understanding that you got to be able to stop the run.
Yeah, yeah. I also look at it like just what you want to have as an identity as a football team. And, you know, I know we all talk about Sean Payton's offense and his passing game, but the bottom line is Sean Payton wants to run the ball because it sets everything up. So he knows if you're going to run the ball, you got to be able to defend the run too. I'm all for what they're doing right now as a defense. They're getting rotational guys, guys who are good players, but just rotational players. They're getting enough of those guys, and they're going to figure it out.
Well, the Rockies lost yesterday. It's not exactly banner headline stuff, but the story in this one, in typical only the Rockies fashion, because that's really what this season's going to be about, because they're going to lose 100 games. They're already 4-13. But there's just going to be those moments along the way where it's like, oh, yeah, this is so Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday they had some sickness going through the clubhouse. So they're short on guys. Bud Black needed a pinch runner in the ninth inning, so he decided to put his number one starter, number one in theory, not number one in performance, Kyle Freeland, who tried to score on a play at the plate, slid, got called out, and hurt his shoulder. Ladies and gentlemen, your 2024 Rockies. Oh, and by the way, Chris Bryant did not play again.
Well, one, is there any other team in baseball that would put their ace as a pinch runner?
Again, number one in status only, but yeah, who would do that?
And the answer is nobody.
Right. You know, would the Yankees put Garrett Cole out there as a pinch runner?
Yeah.
No.
No. No, not going to happen. Well,
I respect the fact that Kyle Freeland is, you know, an actual baseball player, probably thinks of himself as a baseball player, and probably was looking forward to running the bases, but that doesn't mean you do it.
Yeah, there's certain things you just, I don't, well, like I said earlier, maybe they wanted him to go to a rehab assignment and just afraid to send him down. So this is a way to get him down there.
You know, one thing I've always said about the Rockies, at least, you know, you knew it would eventually crater. It would eventually fall apart. But, boy, at least for like a month, they'd at least give you some false hope. They have just come out and said, nope, not going to do that this year.
What was the
We're not going to have any artificially inflated expectations. We're going to suck from the beginning.
Do you know what the sickness was that permeated the locker room? Was it just we're sick of baseball? What was the sickness?
Yeah. We are sick of this season already.
Sick and tired.
Yes. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Coming up next, you want to react to anything, hit us up on the ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Up next, the Tiger Woods effect in full play in a way that you wouldn't expect. And how do you feel about Jamal Murray kind of puffing out his chest and talking a little trash? Pay attention to us. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
So, some of the early TV ratings in for the Masters.
Yeah.
Tiger effect. Thursday's coverage on ESPN, the highest number on a Thursday since 2015. Friday, their ratings were up 69%. Tiger effect.
What happened on the weekend? They drop?
Well, we'll see when those ratings come in. But
they
should
have had Caitlin Clark out there playing, right? Apparently.
Well, even when he was out of contention, everything Tiger does on a golf course is in the limelight. Everybody sees it, right? The cameras are constantly on him. So it was with interest on Sunday that he was playing with an amateur golfer named Neil Shipley. Big guy, long hair.
Yeah, I saw him.
And it was clear as day at one point during the round, Tiger handed him a note or a piece of paper.
Right.
After Neil Shipley's round as the low amateur, he was doing a press conference and, well, he had this exchange with a reporter.
Hey, I saw on one fairway, on a fairway, he wrote something and handed you a note. What was that about? Did you...
No, he didn't.
Oh, I thought he wrote something and handed you a piece of paper.
No, it didn't happen.
Okay. And
then Shipley looked at, like, the Masters guy next to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do I do?
All right.
And, like, interview over. So... Like, that, first of all, why do
so
you...
So what we saw...
Why deny it? Why do you... Is that like one of those things that, like, hey, look, I'm not going to acknowledge anything that Tiger did.
Well,
like,
what do you think he did?
Well, I would think it was something as harmless as giving him his phone number. Hey, if you ever have any questions or anything, don't hesitate to call me or whatever.
You
want
to go to Perkins, get a meal?
I don't know. So I'll tell you what.
I thought it was an autograph.
Maybe it was. So, I don't know. I'll take all ideas. So I'll... Ask the texters out there, what do you think was on the note Tiger slipped to Neil Shipley? Wrong answers only. Hit us up on the rumbleslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. As always, have a little fun with that, and we'll get to some of your ideas as to what Tiger may have written on that piece of paper and given to the kid. Jamal Murray, interesting. In an interview that he did with... Hoops Hype, he was talking about he and Nikola Jokic as a duo and how he feels they don't get enough attention. Quote Jamal Murray, if you want to rank where I think we're the best duo. I think they're in a bigger market and people have more interest in LeBron and AD in LA or what Dame and Giannis could be or what Luka and Kyrie could do. If we're talking about the best duos and getting the job done and how they play for each other and with each other, I think me and Jokic are undoubtedly number one. How do you feel about a Nuggets team that has certainly put that chip on their shoulder, we get no respect,
mm-hmm.
and really thrived in it? How do you feel about Jamal coming out and saying, no, enough.
Yeah.
Pay attention to me.
I love it.
Pay attention to us.
I love it because you should. And they don't. You know, I mean, from Stephen A. saying, I don't want to come to Denver. I don't want nothing to do with Denver. My nose gets stuffy, you know?
right.
You know, and
get diarrhea.
Right. And the fact
he
that.
He said it, I didn't.
Right. The fact that, you know, it's rarely are they ever covered in any form or fashion. The only reason they're covered is because they played somebody else. You know, and then it becomes a MVP debate. Is it Embiid or is it Joker? Or is it, you know, I just think the whole thing is a farce and they're sick of it. And good. And I'm glad they have a chip on their shoulder because it's a very powerful place to play from. When you have a chip on your shoulder and you feel like, hey, whether it's contrived or not, if you feel that way, then it becomes real to you. You know, it becomes personal to you. And I think that's a good place to play from.
These next set of comments bug me. Not that he said them, but that he actually feels like he has to feel this way. And I'll read the quotes and then explain.
Okay.
He says, quote, Murray, I know I'm better than some of the all-stars that have been selected. It's not like it really boils down and bothers me like that. I know I don't need to prove it to myself. I think it's annoying sometimes how just because you haven't made an all-star, they don't put you in certain conversations or whatever for whatever reason, when clearly a lot of people would rather take you over others. It's not like it bothers me too much. It's one of those things where I've got to make it, and clearly that's what's separating me from the greatest. Then I've got to make an all-star one of these days, hopefully next year. It sucks that he's right and has to say that.
Yeah.
Because he's acknowledging that in many respects, being a multi-time all-star is more important than being an NBA champion.
When you're
How
talking
twisted
about,
is that?
Well, when you're talking about individual accolades, when you're talking about individual legacy, the accolades are what pressure or what push the legacy, which it should be about championships, and those fall in there as well. But when we're talking about Hall of Fame appearance, the potential of Hall of Fame or those type of things, it's about your individualistic, you know, accomplishments and how you were voted and everything else, which it does stink. That part does stink because he does deserve those things. But again, you know what? You want to get those, you got to be healthy and you got to play. And he has missed a lot of time over the last couple of years where he's putting up, you know, these unbelievable postseasons. He's missed a lot of time in the regular season. And, you know, probably no fault of his own because he tore the ACL. It took a long time to come back. Then he had the Tibbs. And you get the Tibbs. Sorry, there's not a whole lot you can do when
it's
you
gotta
get
the Tibbs. It's got to be one of the huge storylines of the finals of these entire playoffs.
Mr. Tibbs.
Is Tibbious.
Yeah. You get the Tibbs and poof. That's like getting, what is it called you when you get the, like you get the yips?
Yes.
You get the yips, the Tibbs. How about it when you get like, you lose your equilibrium?
Oh, vertigo.
Yeah, you get vertigo, same type of thing. Tibbs, vertigo.
Same thing.
It's all the same.
Dr. Slurry.
All the same.
But we've talked about this before, and I guess it's cool that he understands it and recognizes the same thing where he says, quote, I think it's annoying sometimes how just because you haven't made an all-star, they don't put you in certain conversations or whatever, for whatever reason, when clearly a lot of people would rather take you over others. That's a great, great point. It's exactly how I feel. I don't care if he ever makes an all-star team. I really don't, because the guy is absolute nails in the playoffs. He rises to these big moments better than pretty much any guard I've seen in today's NBA, short of Steph Curry. So naturally, I'd rather have Jamal Murray doing that in the finals than putting up big numbers in the regular season and going to some phony, fake, fraudulent all-star game. But apparently for a lot of people in the NBA world, that's how your worth is measured, which is sad.
But it is, because your worth is measured like the way their Players Association, the way their union is created, how you get paid on a contract. You know, you're a super max deal, you got to be an all-star. I mean, it's all tied to, which is crazy to me, because you allow fans to vote.
Oh, now wait a minute.
Or players. Like, your salary is tied to a popularity contest.
If he played
for the Knicks or he played for the Lakers,
he would be
a multiple time All-Star.
No doubt.
Okay.
Right. If Jamal Murray is to play in an All-Star game, who would give him a better chance of getting to that All-Star game if the voting was left entirely to the players or the fans?
The players.
The players?
Yes.
Because they recognize.
They recognize. I mean, I talk to players, you know, former players, and they're like, dude, his game is tight. He's just not getting the vote. And, you know, and then, and I've always thought it should be, legitimately should be, like, coaches and GMs vote those things. But, you know, I understand how all that stuff has, because of the internet and everything else, and because of social media, and because we're trying to get as much fan involvement and engagement as possible, we open it up to the fans. And I just have never been, I've never been on board with it. You know, for Pro Bowl voting, for all NBA, all that stuff. I just never have.
Sifting through some of your suggestions as to what Tiger Woods wrote on that note to the amateur Neil Shipley. Some of these I just cannot read, but we'll parse through some of them, sift through some of them, and we'll share some of those with you a little bit later on. Up next in What's Trending, why do so many women have an issue with Caitlin Clark? That's next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
So a big night for the WNBA and for Caitlin Clark, who was the number one pick in the draft yesterday, and the Indiana Fever picked her, and in 1 hour, Fanatics completely sold out of all Caitlin Clark's Fever jerseys in sizes extra small, medium, large, extra large, and extra, extra large. Mark Schlereth buying one extra, extra large. Caitlin Clark, after making millions at Iowa, goes into the WNBA. Her rookie contract will pay her $76,000, $78,000, $86,000, and 97,000 in her 4 years, her first 4 years in the WNBA. So, meanwhile, like, the great WNBA or great women's basketball players that have come before her continue to, it surprises me the amount of, I don't know, pettiness, vitriol, you know, that a bunch of them came out and said, oh, she's in for a rude awakening when she gets to the WNBA. Mm. I gotta tread carefully here. This is not my area of expertise. So I need a female's perspective on this one. So Rogue,
okay.
can you come on this one? Because at first glance, please tell me if I'm wrong, but man, these other women just seem really catty. Like, what's the deal? I don't know if men would act this way.
I don't know if it's uniquely female. What's going on? But I think that they're just annoyed.
Why?
Well, I understand it because I think that they just think that there's way too much attention being placed on one player where they feel like they've been doing the work and, like, you know, going at it and dealing with, you know, the perception of women's basketball, and all of a sudden this one chick comes in and the whole world is just on board with her, but they don't really care about anyone else in the league. And it's like, there's other teams in the league. There's other players in the league.
Yeah, but I would argue for them, you guys, with all that you've, you know, all the foundation that you laid and all the work that you've done, nobody still watches you.
Right.
They watch True. Her. Yeah. So, you know what? Respect it. And yeah, there is going to be a step up in competition. And yeah, you know, all those things. But I at least she's drawing attention to your sport, which you sure. have not been able to create.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think that it's, I don't know if it's really, if they're annoyed with her, who she is as a person, as
much as they are.
Yeah, I think because I mean, truly, honestly, if we took the amount of attention that we have spent on Caitlin Clark and we broke it up, we could lift the entire NBA up. So I think WNBA. So I think people are just like, it's a little much, and I understand why they're annoyed.
But get over it, because yeah, we just got done talking about Tiger Woods. Tiger came into the golf and
yeah, but golf is an individual.
But there have been plenty of other people who had already established the sport, but he took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And you know what? There wasn't much animosity towards Tiger. People were looking around going, wow, look at how the purses, the money is increasing. Look at the TV number. This is good. The Tiger effect is good for all of us.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be the same thing with Caitlin Clark.
I don't think it will be.
Can we besmirch or smear Russ during this segment at the same time? Did you see his tweet when Caitlin Clark got drafted?
No.
Here, and let me... Okay, I'm going to be Russ for a second. Hey. These ladies deserve so much more. Praying for the day.
So yeah, he retweeted the amount of what I just told you right. about the money that she was going to make.
Yeah. I got an idea. You haven't been worth a squirt of piss lately. Why don't you give her some more money? There's an idea.
I think that the ladies are saying, like, just wait till you get in the league and, like, no one respects you and actually no one watches the game and, like, yada, yada, yada. I don't know. I don't know.
Even during the tournament, you know, Diana Taurasi just seemed, like, super, like...
Yeah.
Man.
They're mad that she's getting all the attention.
I know.
And they're not. With her big eyebrows. She's got big eyebrows.
So,
What?
She got big eyebrows.
Caitlin Clark.
Who?
Caitlin Clark. Have you seen her eyebrows?
She's Zach Bye, if Zach was a
girl. Yeah, she got big, thick, brushy, bushy eyebrows.
On Sunday, a lot of NBA games were going on with nobody really caring what happened. And give Boban Marjanovic some credit. Marjanovic? Is it Marjanovic?
Marjanovic.
Okay. I just like, all right, well, this is kind of cool.
Well, he's Boban.
He's Boban. So Boban plays for Houston. So he goes to the line during the game against the Clippers.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, nothing's at stake in this game, right? So he gets to the line, and apparently the Clippers have an in-arena promotion where all fans inside the arena get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich if a visiting player misses two consecutive free throws in the fourth quarter of a game.
Uh-huh.
Well, Boban was apparently aware of this.
There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to you. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
Oh, they gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
Boban.
Free chicken.
Boban. He was like, yeah, he's waving, he's pointing to the crowd, and you know.
I saw that.
That was awesome.
Do you think he was like looking for some free chicken as well?
I don't know.
He's part of the crowd, right? Can I get my free chicken? Where's my chicken? Boban.
Boban's good. I like his commercials.
He's a star. It's amazing what you can. All you got to be is 7'7" or whatever.
Well, speaking of a star, we learned over the weekend that Billy Joel still has some serious juice. So CBS cut off the broadcast of Billy Joel, the 100th live at Madison Square Garden special.
Uh-huh.
Because some parts of the country, because of timing, probably because the Masters ran a little bit late.
Right.
They had time constraints, and they literally stopped the broadcast to go to the local news in the middle of his signature hit, Piano Man. And there was such an uproar over it.
Inconceivable.
That CBS just announced that they will rebroadcast Billy Joel, the 100th live at Madison Square Garden special in its entirety this Friday, April 19th.
All right. Crank this up a little bit. Yeah. Billy Joel. Come on.
He's coming to Denver as well.
Is he?
July 12th.
He says, son, can you play?
Melody.
I'm not really sure how it goes.
So,
sweet and
listen, you can screw around with a lot of things.
Don't
screw around with Billy Joel.
Don't mess with the Piano Man.
Oh, apparently you do not.
No.
People did not take kindly to that. So that is what is a trending. We bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. A lot to react to. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Coming up next, are the Nuggets getting stiffed? Tell you why next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Nuggets country, Nuggets nation, Nuggets fans, you don't mind.
Nugget boy.
You don't mind wearing that chip on your shoulder a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, wondering, why don't we get respect? Why do the networks overlook us? Why are people constantly looking for somebody else other than Nikola Jokic to be the MVP? I get it. And you should feel that way. Hey, you got the world champions. You got the best player on the planet. You'd love to see them get their just due. And it bothers you when they don't. Well, here's another reason why you should be bothered. Team USA released their almost roster for the 2024 Paris Olympic Summer Games.
All right.
They named 11 guys to the roster, still one more spot to fill.
Okay.
So far, the guys that have been named, the latest dream team, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, he'll be hurt by then, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Tyrese Halliburton.
Halliburton, that's a law firm, isn't it? Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton? I don't even know who that is.
Good player.
Is he?
Yeah.
Where's he play?
Indiana.
Oh, no wonder I don't know who he is.
Indiana. Now, I get it. Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, that they're not eligible, of course. But it bothers me.
They'll play for their country.
And I hope that, because there is still one spot to fill, Aaron Gordon should be on this team. Aaron Gordon would be a perfect addition to this team. Because
absolutely.
A lot of times what happens with are U.S. basketball teams that play now in these right. tournaments. They just put together this all-star team, and guys can't accept different roles.
Right.
And even on a team with this many stars, you got to find somebody who's willing to sacrifice some of their own personal game for the greater team good. Well, in this case, Aaron Gordon would be perfect for this team.
What about Caldwell Pope? Great defender.
Oh, okay. I hear you. And yeah. I'll tell you what, I'll even make a case for MPJ. You talk about in a tournament like this where you can have a specialist, a pure specialist, with all that talent out there mm-hmm. on the floor, all that open space, and you just have him out there to knock down shots. But definitely Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon would be perfect. And I think it's a snub. I think it's an absolute snub that you don't have a nugget player on this roster yet.
Right, but you'll have the Nuggets. I mean, Murray will represent Team Canada. And obviously, Jokic will represent Team Serbia in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're going to have.
I still believe that.
It's just a little crazy for them to not like be considering the team that just won the finals.
Right, probably for the second straight time.
Yeah.
I just think it would
Gordon is such a man too, such a great defender and just a bully inside and all the dunks and yeah.
But he's somebody that you know, he'll put his hand up, you know, Steve Kerr, the coach.
Yeah.
I'll guard Luka.
Where'd you get that blister on your hand? Right there in the palm. What's going on in the Evans house?
Actually, you might be impressed where I got
this. I know
this.
You had your wife had a girls' weekend, so she was gone. What happened there? Let me see that blister again. Usually if you're raking, you get it inside.
It wasn't raking. You know what I was doing? You'll actually be impressed what I was doing.
I can't wait to hear because this palm injury has got my this palm injury has piqued my interest.
Well, do you want the true story right. or do you want the story I'm going with?
Like you're mad at it. Meow.
Vengeance is mine.
I want the true story.
Well, actually, okay, true story, I swear to God, I was chopping wood.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I like, you know, we...
Stop the cat.
No, it's true. Honest to God. I was, you know, we enjoy camping during the summer.
Sure.
I love a great campfire.
Oh, yeah.
Love a great campfire.
Who doesn't love a great
campfire? You know, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to like stop by Safeway and buy one of those little, you know, bales of wood that they sell.
Right,
like,
yeah.
And so like, you know, by where I live, you know, sometimes one of the local golf courses, they'll cut down trees that fell down or right. whatever needed to come down, and they'll put the wood out like at the end of their street. Yeah. And a lot of times I'll swing by and I'll throw like 8 or 9 pieces, but it's all like thick,
right?
Not split wood.
Right.
So over the weekend I decided to get out, took out an axe. I had an axe and I was chopping some wood and I got this killer blister.
That wow. is good for you. Good for you.
Or so you may
yeah,
think.
Yeah. Good for you. Axe chopper.
Like you're mad at it.
Have you ever heard the story?
Oh my God.
Have you heard the story of the two what do you call like lumberjacks, right?
Right.
And every day they do an 8-hour shift of chopping wood. And every day one guy goes and he chops wood for 8 straight hours without a break. The other guy leaves for an hour for lunch and comes back. And every day, at the end of the day, the guy who left for an hour has chopped more wood. And by the end of the week, the guy who was always beat every day says to the other guy, he goes, how is it that I chop for 8 straight hours and you take an hour off and yet every day you beat me in the number of cords of wood that you split? And the guy says, because I take an hour to go have lunch and sharpen my axe.
Ooh, write that down.
Right.
Wow.
Write it down. Take a little break. Work smarter, not harder. Mike Evans chopping wood.
That's right.
That is.
Or so you may think.
Right. I may need to check evidence.
Did that blow your mind?
If you see me, peeking over the stall, we're both in there.
Seriously, stop by my house. You'll see a bunch of freshly chopped wood on the side of the house. Ah, where were we? What are we talking about?
I don't know.
What are we talking about, Johnny Fever?
What are we talking about?
Hey, you got it. You got it. We need it. There you go.
Paris, Munich, everybody my music.
Jackson and Littleton. Chopping wood, Evans? Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Honey, I think Junior's upstairs chopping wood again.
It'll be hey,
Oh, my goodness. All right. Tonight, the play-in game between the Pelicans and Lakers. We brought this up yesterday, and it actually turns out we weren't the only ones thinking about it. The idea that the Lakers might tank tonight's game in order to avoid the Nuggets, because whoever wins tonight's game between the Pelicans and Lakers gets the Nuggets in the first round. Mm. And the prevailing theory is that the Lakers, who can't beat the Nuggets are their daddy, will lose this game on purpose, knowing that they have another chance at home to take on the winner of tonight's other play-in game between Sacramento and Golden State with a chance to get the eighth seed.
Soft.
So the idea is, hey, we'd rather play the number one seed, Oklahoma City, instead of the two seed, Denver, and you'll maybe see the Lakers try to lose tonight to make that happen. Well, turns out we're not the only ones thinking about it. Mike Greenberg, your buddy, FOS on ESPN. Made his case.
The Lakers should not play tomorrow night. They should not play LeBron. They should not play AD. They do not want to be the seven seed. You want to be the eight. I'm taking my chances in a one and done at home against either Sacramento or Golden State and go in against the very young OKC Thunder in round one instead of going into the buzzsaw that is Denver. I think it is worth the risk.
So Tim Legler was on with him, and Legg said, well, are you sure you want to do that? Because now you go and put yourself now into a winner-take-all situation where if you lose, you're completely out of the playoffs. You didn't even get a chance to play in a best-of-seven series. And you get yourself in a situation where, you know, cold shooting night or Anthony Davis rolls an ankle. I know, that'd be shocking if that happened. But Greeny says, no, it'd be worth the risk.
I think life is about assessing risk reward. Is it worth that risk to avoid playing Denver in round one or two? There's no one who can. Look, the Nuggets are the one team the Lakers have no chance to beat. Realistically, no chance to beat. And you know who knows that? LeBron James knows that. They got swept by the Nuggets last year. That is a matchup. They are hoping someone else knocks off Denver along the way. To me, Alan, I understand the risk. And if you wind up losing at home Friday night to Sacramento or Golden State, you wind up looking terrible. But I think it is a risk worth taking.
This whole play-in tournament, if this becomes what teams are doing in the NBA, right, to basically tank a game in hopes that you play another game, in hopes that you get the eighth seed instead of the seventh seed, what if both teams decide they don't want to play the Nuggets? What if both the Pelicans and the Lakers,
right?
Yeah, here's the other problem that you have. The NBA has these contracts with the networks, and you basically promise, the network promises, you know, a certain number. Dude, how can you be held accountable as a network for a number, you know, a viewership number, if the two teams that are playing decide they don't want to play? It's a big problem. Think about, you know, the economics of television deals and how they affect the broadcast world, how it affects the NBA, how it affects, you know, major sports, and the money that comes in. And then all of a sudden, your guys are what? You know, taking a rest day, deciding they don't want to play. It's a real problem, especially for the NBA, because there's so many guys that will take these, you know, they take these maintenance days.
So you think the Pelicans might?
He's got a point.
Might do the same thing. I get why the Lakers would do it, because the Lakers, they've seen firsthand time after time they can't beat the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the Pelicans? They don't have any kind of playoff history. They're a younger team. Do you think that they would think that way? Or do they just want to get in?
I think they would just want to get in, but I don't know. But even if the Lakers just pull a no-show, if Anthony Davis has a headache, you know, LeBron James is nursing, you know, whatever he's nursing.
Because in theory, New Orleans could look at it the same way, where we got two chances at home to win one.
Correct.
And so if we don't want to run the risk of playing the Nuggets, we'd rather play Oklahoma City, we can tank this game tonight knowing that we still get another home game.
Mm.
It's winner take all, but at least it's another home game to get the 8th seed and get Oklahoma City.
By the way, those same people, okay, here's the hypocrisy in this. The same people are saying, you know, that are saying maybe the Lakers should just tank this, right? So that they have a chance to go deeper in the playoffs and not have to face the Nuggets, so they can face the Oklahoma City Thunder and SGA. But SGA is my MVP.
Yeah.
But you don't want to face the Nuggets and Jokic.
Right. That's a great point.
But it's better to face SGA and the Thunder.
Run that one by Stephen A. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, how absolutely asinine is that? But I'm voting for somebody other than Joker. But nobody wants to play them.
Right.
It just
great
is.
Great point.
It's such hypocrisy.
This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. Yeah.